It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Tuolumne County has been working to restructure government in response to a continuing budget shortfall. Some budget hearings were recently held and tough decisions are on the horizon. And here to get us up to speed on the latest is Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs. CAO Riggs, I know it's been a very busy several weeks, so I thank you so much for coming in and getting the community up to speed this morning.
Thank you, BJ. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and our community about what is coming up next.
So, you know, just generally, first question, you know, what is kind of the state of the budget right now?
So right now we continue to work the problem. As many know, we put out that we had a projected shortfall of $3.7 million for our general fund, and we needed an additional $500,000 for our fire fund. So we are looking for $4.2 million in savings. In the past, for those who've been watching, when working with my former boss, the CAO, Pedro, we were doing three-year projections, and what we had originally projected just a couple of years ago, that had we not done anything over the coming years, that we would be more at a $7 or $8 million deficit this year. We can talk more about what drives that, but right now we are continually working the budget. We're working with department heads, and we will have a balanced budget to present on Tuesday.
You know, what is being done differently this year compared to last year when it comes to the budget strategy and putting the document together?
So this year we took a little bit of a different approach than what we've done since I've been in the office, and really trying to make this what some would call transparent. What I would like to be able to do is take the time to educate our board. We do have two new board members who have not been through this process, but not just the board, our employees and our community. As I've gone in these last 7 months and worked in the community with our employees, what I hear is they feel like There's a lack of knowledge, maybe a lack of communication about county process, how it's done, why it's done, and why the board makes the decisions that they make. So this new process is really education and to pull our community and our employees into this process, as we don't know all things, and I am open to any suggestions and solutions as we work this problem.
So has the process been kind of taking things that are required by law and then after that adding the different things as well?
Right. So for anyone who's been watching what we did on the August 7th and 8th, we went through a process where what I asked was our department heads to first present what is the minimum mandate for the services that they provide. And unfortunately, there's been some miscommunication where people thought that a decision had been made and the board has not made any decisions. Department heads were asked to provide the minimum mandates. Then they would show what their recommendation was. And I'll give an example of that just because this is one of the ones I know has been causing a lot of frustration and heartache in some instances with animal control. The minimum mandate that the state requires is that you keep animals that are brought into the facility for 3 days. After that 3 days, the state allows for those animals to be euthanized. We don't do that. We've never done that. The animals always stay longer. Our animal control employees are awesome, and they work very hard with a lot of our rescue organizations to get those animals home. So that was never considered. It was just being provided as a minimum mandate. That's not what's being recommended from the department head or myself, but that's just an example of where's the minimum that the state requires, and then what does the county provide that is above and beyond the minimum.
You know, can you explain a little more like law enforcement and things like that? Or I don't think a lot of people in the community may not understand what is kind of required and what is, you know, things that aren't required.
Yeah, so for public safety, and that is the main, what is government here for? It's for public safety. And so for law enforcement, that comes in a lot of different ways, or our public safety does. With our sheriff, he is required to keep the peace. He is required to go out into the community and do that. Yet the minimum that he's required to do is have a jail. Now, you know, I was quoted as saying, and I did say this, can you imagine if all we did was a jail, yet that would mean that if you called 911, there would be no deputies out there. So, of course, that's not what counties and cities do. You always go above the minimum. And that's a perfect example where our sheriff is doing a great job in advocating for the services that he provides to the community and keeping peace.
You know, can you explain a little bit, too, about the state mandates that have created budget challenges and the role of county government?
So anytime you hear reform or realignment that is coming, mostly that comes down from the state. The most recent would be AB 109. That's one of the biggest ones. And when the state was told they need to reduce the number of inmates that they have in their prison, what happened was those inmates, they didn't just get let out. Those inmates were pushed down to the local level, which inhibits the local level's ability to work with lower level crimes. So if all you can do is keep someone who has a felony that's violent in the jail, that means that those who are committing misdemeanors such as theft and maybe trespassing, you don't have the teeth to do what you might like to do. So, and then probation. So those who were on parole, a lot of those parolees got pushed down to our probation department. There is some funding, but the state never provides enough funding. And what happens is sometimes they provide funding in the front. And as the years progress, that funding is reduced so that the board is required to use discretionary funding to fill that gap. And that's what we're experiencing. We are seeing more and more mandates and legislation passed that we provide services to those who are committing crimes, which really limits the ability for the board to provide services for those who are not committing crimes. And those services are the ones that we enjoy as a part of our quality of life.
So even though we hear the state of California having pretty good budget times in recent years with revenues coming in, that revenue is not getting trickled down to the county as you'd like to see?
Correct. As you can imagine, you probably heard us, we're very frustrated. The governor is saying there's like a $21 billion surplus. And the rural counties especially, and those are the ones, of course, that we work the most closely with, they're not experiencing that same level of surplus. And when I work and call and talk with my colleagues, other county administrators across the state, many of them are dealing with the very exact same thing that we're dealing with, is that the mandates and the funding don't equal up. And so they're pushed to limiting those other services and reducing services. And that's a very difficult place to be put in, especially when the governor keeps saying there's a $21 billion surplus.
Also, you mentioned those 2 days of public hearings where the budget was discussed. Was it pretty productive for the supervisors and the county leaders?
I think it was. In the past, our department heads have not had the opportunity to get up and talk with the board and the community in that type of public forum. And that it provided a lot of information. We did all the non-safety departments on the 7th, and we did safety departments on the 8th. And it was nice to see that those came in who came in for the non-safety sitting in there on safety day, and then the vice versa, those who are on safety sitting on the non-safety day, because it informed them as well. There are some services, some people, they value more. I mean, we all think you value, some of those quality of life services until you hear what your district attorney and your sheriff are dealing with and trying to deal with the daily calls that they're getting for services. I think it helped to create some balance in learning and having that education for the board as well, remembering we have two new board members. And for our staff, as they are watching this process, it's important to me that our staff understand why we're going through this process and learning more about the services that are being offered.
We're talking with Tuolumne County Administrator Tracy Riggs on this weekend's Motherload Views, getting the latest on the budget. The budget will be discussed at the meeting coming up next Tuesday, where the supervisors will give more direction. And we're talking about the budget issues on this weekend show. A programming note, next week on Motherload Views, we'll get an update from the congressman from District 4. Tom McClintock is back in the district. We'll hear legislation that he's introducing in Washington, D.C., and his thoughts on the state of Washington, D.C. right now. That's next week on Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment with CAO Riggs is coming up in just a minute.